Hello, everyone. Welcome to Developing Palettes. I am Aaron Loomis coming to you from the Drew Estate Studio. With me today is June Liu, Seth Geist, John McTavish. How you guys doing?
Robust and deluxe.
Doing great. Thanks for asking.
All right. So today we are talking about the My Father, Garcia y Garcia Robusto Deluxe. I don't know what to call it. I guess I call it a Toro. 5 3/4 by 52. Comes out of My Father factory in Nicaragua. Wrappers Ecuadorian Habano Rosado, binders from Nicaragua, filler is Nicaraguan Criollo 98 and Pelo de Oro, blended by Don Pepin Garcia and Jaime Garcia. Price point is $30. Cigars released in September of 2021, and we picked these cigars up from Corona Cigar Company. So if you're in the Florida area, you can stop by one of their multiple shops and lounges, or you can go to coronacigar.com and buy online.
Oh, yeah, you can.
All right. So with all that out of the way, June, what was your overall experience like with this cigar?
So I haven't had a good new release, My Father, in a while. So, you know, statistically, not doing so good going into the cigar. But nonetheless, you know, I have a soft heart for My Father and Pepin, of course, because Pepin is one of those cigars and brands that I've had that brings back a lot of good memories from my first few years of smoking cigars. So anyways, this cigar, I actually thought the first one was really good. It reminded me of, not trying to sound poetic or anything, but like, it reminded me of like a good cooked, like a well-cooked dish, right? It's well-seasoned. There's like a umami character to it. It's meaty. It's like very, you know, well put together. But as I spoke through more of the cigar, i.e. the latter two halves, I thought it was just way too much spike in like minerals and very sharp baking spices. And it was just, that's all it was. So it was pretty much disappointing within the entire cigar as a result of that. And then, you know, we'll talk about this a little bit more, I'm sure, later on in the review. But I can't believe this is $30. I didn't think My Father would come out with such a crazy price point. I would never thought I would see that kind of day where we will see a $30 cigar come out of My Father. That's branded as My Father, but it happened.
All right, Seth, what were your thoughts?
Yeah. The cigar, I mean, really the cigar, the aroma of the cigar really caught my attention initially. It really had like this, a funk to it, and it made me think of like a Belgian triple for a while there. It just was fruity, barnyard, manure, cedar. There was a lot going on there. And then when I started lighting up the first third, I was getting like this leather, herbal, dark cocoa, cedar, coffee, and nut quality. Then I had this little coconut thing. Did you guys ever have the Cocoa Cafe coconut water?
Yeah, of course.
Have you ever had that?
Yeah.
That flavor profile just kind of, you should try it out, Aaron. It's actually pretty good. That flavor profile just kind of hung around really throughout like the first and kind of second, third, and then kind of finished earthy. I mean, it was average throughout. What was my construction? I can't remember. Yeah, it was really good construction. John?
I'm still trying to get over the $30 price point. We'll come back to that. The first third started out, I would describe it as sort of a local, corner store bakery. Like it just this really nice, mild, creamy bread, baking spices, and just kind of a sweet, subtle wood. And I was like, holy, this is quite what I would describe as nuanced. Especially for My Father, which, you know, I've been like June. I mean, man, some of the first cigars I started smoking back in the day were the Blue Label DPGs. You know, when I can't remember the name of the one that hit Cigar Aficionado's top 25, but I've been smoking that for like 6 years before it hit the CA list.
Le Bijou?
The Le Bijou, yeah. The short Robusto. Fantastic cigar, but they're all like very medium full bodied cigars, and I would describe this like in the first half an inch to an inch is like light plus, and I was like, wow, is like, are they just trying to suck me in and then they're gonna blast me? So it was nice, you know. It was very subdued, very balanced, creamy and desserty and bready and good. And a lot of that was still present in the second third. I think it just lacked that harmonious character that the first third had. So the individual flavor notes were still there, but they just didn't have the same level of intensity. And then there's sort of an earthiness that moved in. So the profile didn't really come together as much as I would like. And the last third, kind of a green tannic wood and some dryness and then some bitterness in the halfway mark. So I was like, it's a little off-putting. Weirdly, and we'll still get back to it, but man, for a $30 cigar, I don't think I should have to relight it. So had to knock the burn. And there was some unevenness at times, which is a bit of a drag. Draw was perfect. So overall, you know, slightly above average experience. Aaron, what about you?
Yeah, for me, the cigar started with musty cedar and light baking spice. Had a little toast and creaminess joining in fairly quickly. Baking spice transitioned to black pepper and some dry earth joined in. Final third saw a vegetal note join in. Construction was very good. But other than a few random draws in the first third, I thought the cigar was disappointingly average. It was initially smooth and kind of unassuming, which I can understand in a, you know, a luxury price type cigar, but I would have thought there would have been, you know, something exciting about the flavor profile at some point, but it just wasn't there. I thought it was pretty boring. And you know, regardless of the price point, I would be coming back to it. But when you put in $30 price point, it's a really hard sell to even want to come and try it again. So yeah, pass for me. All right, so getting into scores, going to start at the top with June at 6.10. John gave it a 5.90, and Seth and I both gave it a 5.65. So June had that 6.1 matchup for you.
I think that I need to start purposely rating burn and draw bad so that I don't become the best scorer most of the time.
You said this last week too, man. Said the same exact thing last week.
From now on, I'm going to say burn and draw, well, default to average. All right, but I will qualitatively say that it was good. I get it. That was a little jab, little jabby jab.
Oh, jab. Hey, John, 5.9.
Yeah, I mean, it matches up well. I think flavor profile wise, it's like a 6. But, you know, kind of a drag to have a burn issue on a $30 cigar. Really shouldn't have that. Yeah.
All right, Seth, 5.65.
It was what it was, man. It is what it is. So, I scored that for all you guys out there. I scored that before I paid attention to the price point. And then when I saw the price point, I just said, what the fuck? So, I mean, the debate, I think you could have a serious debate at some point. I think there's a price range, I think, where you can really start putting that in there. I don't know when that is, but I think that should be taken into consideration by all parties. You can't spend $30 on the cigar. You just can't. Like, I can't. And if a retailer sells it to you, shame on them. Actually, props to them if you actually buy it, because you're stupid because you listen to them. But shame on them for doing it. What would Bush say? Shame me once, fool me.
I tell you what, where I'm from, they have a saying. It's fool me once.
Wow. Well,
shame on me, but fool me a second. Fool me a second. Can't get fooled again.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can't get fooled again.
My 5.65 matches up as well. Average flavor profile, really good construction, kind of gets into that mid-5 mark. But I think I said this on a recap we did last week on another higher price cigar, but I just feel like when they get up to these high price points, they kind of want to just like make it like not offending to people that spend a lot of money on cigars thinking that they're getting a really good product, you know, and it's just like, I don't know.
They want to make an easy cigar for these wealthy people
who
don't know what the hell they're smoking.
Right. Yeah. So when somebody that knows what they're smoking smokes it and expecting a $30 experience, they're disappointed. So.
And what are we supposed to do? I mean, what are we supposed to do? What are the everyday consumers supposed to do?
Don't buy
expensive cigars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I guess from a
unless
financially responsible unless perspective, you could say they shouldn't be doing it anyways, but
right.
There we go.
Yeah.
What are we going to say, June?
Unless if it's some Davidoffs, right?
There's going to be,
I mean, you always got to support Davidoff. Yeah. Screw the other people.
Any other final thoughts from you guys on this?
Yeah, I want to lean into this. I mean, I know we've been beating this horse, but I just don't know how you can justify a $30 price point on a cigar. Like, listen, I know that there's wrappers out there that are, you know, aged and expensive and that cost money. But just material wise, it's not $30. Like, it's just not. You know, I think in the green room, we're talking about it. It kind of offends my sensibility that you would charge $30 for a cigar. It's not in keeping, I think, with my father's historical approach to cigars. And, you know, the flavor profile aside, it could be spectacular, but it's going to be really tough for me to justify $30.
Are you really?
Are we really surprised that my father wouldn't charge $30 for a cigar? Aaron, can you put photo? Can you put a photo of the cigar up again, please? Can we put a photo up?
I think it's just because.
No. Let's just look at this. Stop thinking back to 2006 and 2007. And I know they're going to fucking watch this and get pissed off at me for this, but let's just pull this thing up.
Listen, I've been supporting the brand since
Stopped giving a shit about the tobacco and started giving a shit about the packaging.
Let me ask you this, Seth. Do you think this is a situation where the price followed the packaging, or do you think that someone in marketing said, we're going to charge $30, and then a bunch of people went, okay, well, now we got to make it look like it's worth $30, so
my fathers are usually 15, and now you got Garcia and the other Garcia, who they don't always do this, so that's another 15 we got to add on top of that.
I don't think they're normally $15.
I think they should rename it from my father to marketing father.
Okay.
Marketing father.
Listen, I'm going to keep buying Le Bijoux. I'm going to keep buying tons of DPGs. And
I mean, I don't blame them for... I mean, listen. I can't let Rocky Patel get away with start charging cigars at $16 and $18 and then get mad at my father for charging a cigar at $30. I mean, listen, has Nick Perdomo done it yet? Because if he hasn't, props to him. I hope he doesn't, because God damn it, it'll make me respect him a little bit. I'm not surprised by my father.
Yeah, but like John, though. Like, I mean, so for instance, John, would you have an issue with paying $30 a cigar? That's, I don't know, one of your favorite Davidoffs that's out there, like the
D&D Misfinos or something. I was thinking like Padron, right? Like, to me, whenever somebody charges over $20, I'm like, okay, so like, let's compare this to like a 1926. That's where my head is always at. And it's like, I feel like a 1926 is pushing the envelope of like flavor delivery versus, you know, value proposition of what you're getting. You know, and we're kind of beating this horse, but like, man, when you go over $24, like, to me, you're going to have to deliver the kind of flavor experience where like my head's going to lay back in the chair and I'm just going to make weird, uncomfortable sounds for everyone else in the lounge for like 5 minutes. Because if I don't do that, then why am I paying like $10 more than the next most expensive cigar that does that? Or
so why are you, why are you blind?
Because it's easy.
Those Cuban regionals out there without even knowing how they smell like, how they smell.
Oh, that's
like,
just scarcity. Because
investment purposes?
FOMO.
I'm curious.
It's Cuban regionals, man.
It's FOMO. It's FOMO.
You gotta buy it.
It's 100% FOMO. Wait,
you know where? Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's not because I'm making sense
for me
decisions.
It's because it's my father. That's why I'm a little surprised by it. Because like, there's certain Davidoffs and like Cuban regionals and Cuban cigars in general where I will plop down the money and I wouldn't think $30 is high enough or super expensive. You know?
Sure, if it's a Punch Italian regional, but you know, this is not a Punch Italian regional. not even close. This is
The non-Cuban market,
number two.
The non-Cuban market has not been able to duplicate what the Cubans do, and the fact that they can just release something and then it increases in value.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah,
at the end of the day, it comes down to why would I smoke this versus a Le Bijoux, which is a phenomenal cigar and less than half the price.
Oh yeah.
And there's been some Garcia Garcias that have been quite good, but this is not one of them. So.
God, we're like we're
what was so there, what was, like, even the Cassata one I like.
You the know Cassata, what? If you're gonna charge $30 and deliver that flavor performance, I think it's fair to critique and say, you know, like if you wanted to charge $15 for that, I feel like I would be half as harsh.
Oh, I'm thinking of the Fonseca. The Fonseca was
fantastic. That was a great cigar. How much was the Fonseca? Like $9.80? $11?
Yeah, yeah, that was a Nicaraguan Puro.
There you go. So I could smoke 3 Fonsecas, which I feel like would be a good choice.
$11 for that Toro.
There you go.
That wasn't bad, though. $11 for that Toro?
It's not bad at all.
It's a bigger cigar than this.
It's a nice cigar.
6.92, 6.27, 6.57. Man, we like that cigar.
You know why, Seth?
Because it was good.
Because it was good. So maybe charge $30 for the Fonseca and charge $11 for this.
No, fucking don't do that.
No, we would have bitched still.
No.
All right, that's all I got.
All right, that's it.
I've been enough of a negative Nancy.
If you just catch this video on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to us. We'll also check out a full written review on the website, developmentpalace.com. Follow us on all social media channels, and you can catch all of our review recaps on podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean. Thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
Le bijou.